Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning, starting out with Tom Petty this morning, the wonderful rocker who died yesterday at 66 years of age. And we'll talk about that later on, but we'll be playing his music throughout the morning this morning. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable. Welcome to our panel for this third day of October. It is a pleasure to have you with us, as it always is. I welcome you, and we welcome your letters as well. panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. Let me get to the panel, introduce them. J.P. Miller is here. He's making notes.
Yes.
That's good.
Copious notes.
You're keeping tabs on us, I think.
All on Tom Petty.
Okay, good, good. Waiting for the Tom Petty discussion.
I want to get the Tom Petty message just right.
All right, I got it. Empire Report is JP's endeavor, and we thank you very much for being here. Always
thank you
a pleasure.
For having me.
Mike Spain is the associate editor of the Times Union newspaper. He is a dear friend of this program. He's been on the program since its very, very beginning. I believe on the second episode of our program, Mike was there. And he's been there ever since.
Every Tuesday.
So we're thrilled that you came back and are here in your rightful place. We like that a lot.
Well, thanks very much.
Also joining us is Dr. Alan Chartok.
He was here for show one.
That's right. He's been here from the beginning. Before roundtable program, created this whole thing, got us into this mess in the first place. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Hi, Joe. I'm okay. I frankly am a little bit concerned. We have to make half the money to fill up the lockbox between now and the beginning, which is what, in about a week? Is that right, Joe?
A week and a half. It's October 16th, so we have a week and about 3 or 4 days. Yes.
Now, this is when usually the WAMC crowd decides that this station is worth having and we have to do this and that we're going to do it. And we have the so-called whoosh factor. But in the end, there's no gimmick. There's nothing other than this is a time when we really have to do it. We've been having these miraculous fun drives. One day fun drive, and the next time a day in 3 hours. We never thought we would see that. That's because of the external events, the existential crisis that WAMC and all of us face. Let's face facts, who these people are who are just so threatening to this country. And this, we have to be there to be able to say, hey, this is what's happening right now. So I'm asking everybody, because it's so important, to just go to WAMC.org and put something in. Now, Joe, there are a couple of incentives, but that's not why we're doing it. We're doing it because we have to save the station, SOS, save our station. But, Joe, tell us a little bit about what some of the things that people could have.
Well,
right,
that's
now.
Right. I mean, there's two things. First of all, the capital steps are coming to the Egg on November 3rd, and for a pledge of $150, you can get a pair of tickets for those. And there's only a few of those left. So if you want in on that, we've done this 3 or 4 times prior. This is a WAMC exclusive event. They've all sold out. This one will sell out as well. So kind of last call on the tickets for the Capitol steps. The other one I want to mention is the evening with Harry Belafonte, the great Harry Belafonte. It's a conversation. He will not be performing. He has not sung for many years, but he will be in discussion and talking about his legendary career as an activist, as a performer, as a celebrity, and as a citizen of this world. And he'll be talking to Alan at the Egg on Saturday, November 11. Now, this is going to be an incredible event. He'll be talking about his humanitarian causes, his performing work, this storied career, this cultural and political climate that we're currently in. All of these, this conversation will take place with Alan on the stage at the Egg on Saturday, November 11th. We still have tickets available. They're going to go extremely quickly. So if you want those, you should do that right now. All this money goes into the Lockbox. These are Lockbox exclusives. $150 for a pair of tickets to that. And as Alan mentioned, the important thing is that we get to the halfway point in the fund drive before we begin. And to do that, we need about $250,000 roughly. I don't have the exact figure in front of me, but as I was walking in this morning, Alan, I believe that was like 240 something. So
sounds right. Yeah.
Right. So we need $250,000. This will go a long way to help with that. But whatever you can do, obviously, is of the utmost importance. WAMC.org is one way to do it. And you just put in, it'll say donate now. And it has a Lockbox link. And you just click on it and goes right to it. And the other thing you can do is give us a call. And that is 1-800-323-9262. Just press zero. And operators are standing by.
Now, we realize, Joe, that there are people who don't, who can't come to either of these events. They may be in New York City right now, but they know what this radio station means to them. You have no idea how many people stream this program now. We know that.
Right.
It's incredible.
Right.
Some people can't afford it. Some people will say, I can do $5, but I can't do $150. That's just fine. Anything you can do will save the station. And I think that's the one thing we all want to do.
WAMC.org, WAMC.org, and you can simply donate and fill up the lockbox. And that's what we're looking to do. Quite frankly, that's what we have to do. It's essential if we're going to continue. And not only that, but you can call 1-800-323-9262. Because we always hear from the people, I don't have a computer or I don't know how to do that. So all you have to do is call us up. We'll walk you through it. 1-800-323-9262.
And whether it's $5 or $1,000, we've seen it all. We love you and we thank you for doing it because we can't have a radio station without it.
And this is going to be my fairly gentle segue into this, but you were alluding to this, not alluding to it, this was your point earlier, Alan, which was, if you're going to hear about what's going on in as far as our conversation, the national conversation that we are having or should be having about guns, the conversation of what's going on in Puerto Rico, the conversation of what's going on in North Korea, well, this is the station where you get that information. And if you rely on it, well, then we're hoping that you will support it. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org.
Come on, everybody, let's do it.
Let's do it. Now, let's start with what is going on in the world. And actually, let's take a break. We'll catch up on some underwriting. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get started on Las Vegas, obviously. We'll start off with that story, and we'll be right back after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. As promised, we start our discussion this morning, and we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. 23 firearms found in the hotel suite of the Las Vegas gunman. A lone gunman at the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino took aim at a crowd of 22,000 people at a country music festival. The latest numbers, 59 people killed, injuring more than 520 others. That number has skyrocketed, really. It started at, I think, 150 and has gone right up. Thankfully, the number of those killed has gone up, but only slightly. So thousands of concert goers found themselves turned into targets in many ways flat, having no idea that they were being fired upon from above. We know a little bit more, although not a lot more, about the suspect. No indications that the suspect identified as Stephen Paddock has ties to an international terrorist organization. The Islamic State did take responsibility, but law enforcement officials have not been able to find any credible tie to that organization. And apparently it has been done before where they have taken credit for events that are just horrific and not necessarily that of their making. The police found Mr. Paddock dead in his room at the hotel as they were trying to enter the room, which was a massive suite in the Mandalay Bay Hotel. Federal authorities said there were no indications that Mr. Paddock had ties to those organizations. There is a woman described as Mr. Paddock's companion, was a person of interest in the hours after the attack, said to be his girlfriend, and she is an Australian citizen and was not even in the country, apparently, at the time of the attack. They say she is no longer a person of interest, although there still is some questions about that. And we know, obviously, a lot more about the victims as well of those people who were gunned down on Sunday night. And, of course, as I end up my my kind of wrap up here, the questions about the guns, the type of guns, that also is going on. And we have been told by many, especially on the right and within the administration itself, that now is not the time to discuss the issue of gun violence and a change in our gun laws. Who would like to begin? Alan?
Well, let me just say that I spoke to Congressman Jim McGovern yesterday, who was outraged about our failure to pass reasonable gun laws, pardon me, in this country. And we really have to do it. I've been hearing from the trolls all night long who've been telling me I've got it wrong. Some say that if we don't have guns, what will stop the government from you know, attacking us? You know, this is incredible. There are reasonable things that can be done here. Look, there's a percentage of the American people who are troubled, emotionally troubled and disturbed. And we know it. And some of them are led to violence. Those people should be identified, no question about it. And restraint should be put on how much, whether they can buy guns or not. As we have said, there's a no-fly list. Anybody, you know, who is mildly suspicious could get off that no-fly list. On the other hand, what about guns? Anybody could have a gun. And now they're passing another law for silencers to make it easier to get silencers for your guns. Look, there's something called a profile in courage. I've talked about it before. At what point does a congressman look in his soul or her soul and say, hey, you know, this is really bad and this ain't worth being a congressman for? And I have to say, when it's all over, when life is over for a congressperson or a senator, you know, they're going to be identified as to how much courage they have. And right now, we do need to know that our representatives have the kind of courage that will not sell out to the NRA. That's my statement on that.
Trevor Noah, who hosts The Daily Show on Comedy Central, had a very somber piece last night, but making the point of that if a plane crashes, you immediately talk about plane safety. If a bridge goes down, you immediately talk about the infrastructure and the safety of the bridge. So why is this then not the time to talk about guns and gun control when you're talking about an individual who was able to have this cache of weapons and ammunition that apparently has been stockpiled over a fairly decent amount of time and readily brought into a major open hotel, set up shop there for 3 or 4 days, and was able to wreak such havoc in just a matter of an hour or so?
Be interesting to know if the house cleaners who are going to clean that room were cleaning that room and what they saw there. Mike, I'm sorry.
Apparently, it was just suitcases. From what I was hearing, this question was being asked last night on some of the cable news programs that I was watching, and the people who worked with other hotels were saying that in Vegas, so many people are doing trade shows that they come in with these very large cases with booths and everything else, that it's really not that out of the ordinary to see these large things. And because of the enormity of his room,
It was a huge room.
It was a huge room. And also the other thing is they're not sure whether there actually was cleaning, because if he never left and just stayed in and put the sign out, then they would have never gone in. So that's the other possibility too. But again, what somebody said yesterday on this program is that there isn't a square inch of Las Vegas that isn't under surveillance footage. So I'm sure at some point we'll know a lot more about that. Mike.
Yeah, in the time remaining, I just wanted to underscore it is absolutely the appropriate time to talk about it. After the hurricanes, Hurricane Harvey and then followed by Hurricane Irma, the Environmental Protection head, Scott Pruitt, was saying it's not the right time to talk about global warming. We have people in pain. I mean, it is the very time. You said it perfectly, Alan. I mean, and Joe, I mean, it's why we talk about it now. It is demonstrative to what can happen if you don't do something.
We want to bring you up to date on the news. We will do that right now. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. JP, I'll actually let you talk. I promise. We'll be right back and continue. We welcome your letters as well. Panel@WAMC.org. Panel@WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, and the very quiet JP Miller this morning. We'll be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning, listening to the music of Tom Petty, who passed away yesterday. And we will be talking about that story later on. We have a couple of letters regarding the Las Vegas shooting. I just want to check in with JP on your thoughts before we move on to that.
Sure. Just obviously there aren't any easy answers on this. And I heard on the way in that they say that there's a relatively small number of fully automatic weapons in our country. And what is that relatively small number? There are over 500,000 fully automatic weapons in our country, like what people believe that this guy used the other day. And there are 300 million guns in our country. Yeah. And if there were easy answers, I think and hope that our Congress and our president of either party would do something to try and help the situation. But we obviously have a very enthusiastic group of gun owners in the country that's a very powerful lobby backed up by a lot of money and controls a lot of votes for a lot of Republicans and Democrats in conservative states.
But if you talk to most people, and surveys have been done on this, of people who even are NRA members and are very much gun owners and enthusiasts, but very much against anyone having a right to have that kind of weapon. And then the argument, of course, turns around to, well, if they're illegal, then people are going to get them illegally. Drugs are illegal, too, and people get those. So, but there does seem to be an ease of there's obviously a problem with the process if someone is able to obtain as many weapons as he had in that room and at his home. And we don't even know if there are any stored anywhere else. They're still working on that, which brings us to another point, which is we still don't know really anything about this guy. As far as motive goes, we don't know really anything. There's a lot of differing reports, but as far as a pattern, that he doesn't seem to fit anything yet.
He was a 64-year-old college graduate who was
accountant,
right? And he had wealth. He wasn't, heavily in debt. It sounded like he wasn't addicted to. So far there's no known addiction. It's totally puzzling. But before you leave the gun device discussion, it's important to know the Associated Press had a good story overnight that you can apparently buy a semi-automatic rifle, like an AR-15, or maybe I got the number wrong. Pardon me on that. But and you can buy a piece of machinery for $50 and modify it and make it into an automatic gun. And apparently that's legal to buy these devices. And you can go on YouTube and you can see how to install it and take your AR-15 and turn it into essentially a machine gun, or what we used to call machine guns. And basically an automatic rifle where you hold down the trigger and bullets just pound out. And that's evidently what this guy had in Las Vegas. I mean, why do we need all that? I don't think the American public needs it, but it is big, big, big money for the gun manufacturers, and that's what the motive is.
I want to go back, if I can, Joe, for just 1 second, Mike, to the president of the United States, of these United States, saying it's too early to discuss guns. Of all the outrageous things that this guy has said, and there have been many, many, North Korea, you name it, they've been there. But the idea, the chutzpah, the idea of the unbelievable gall, and that you would ask the question, so why is he saying it? He's saying it because he's got no defense, that's why. And because he's saying, let's leave it for later. When those babies were wiped out at Sandy Hook, the worst thing I have ever seen. I mean, it was beyond anything I could understand. There was the same kind of nonsense about they're trying to take our guns away. Damn right.
The other thing, and you talked about it earlier, Alan, and I just want to add to it a bit, and that is, or have Mike add to it, actually, because we were talking about it during the break, which was you were mentioning the, so there is legislation in the House now regarding silencers, and Mike, you mentioned there's also another interesting bit of legislation that's working its way through the House having to do with concealed weapons.
Concealed weapons. It's been a long-term goal of the NRA to pass a bill in Congress that would basically require every state to honor another state's law regarding concealed weapons. So you could have a very strict law in New York, like you do. It's very difficult to get a permit to have a concealed weapon. And if someone comes in from out of state and they have a concealed weapon, they're required to honor New York's law, and they have to put the weapon into a locked box, or they have to register it, or they have to disclose it. It isn't you just can't carry it around in a school or a college campus or a church or wherever. But there is a bill in Congress, and it has the support of some of the congressional delegation in New York, including Representatives John Fazio of Kinderhook and Elise Stefanik of the North Country, that would require New York to honor other states. So you could maybe by mail order get your concealed weapon permit from another state, maybe Florida, and never even have to go to Florida. And then you could bypass the entire criminal justice system and court system and permit system in New York and obtain a concealed weapon in defiance of the intention of New York's legislature and New York's people. And that's something that's right out there. And the NRA is pushing that along with the silencer, legislation that would allow you to have a silencer easily available for your firearm.
I'm sorry, JP, but one thing that I would add on to what Mike said, if you travel around in the upstate counties, you're going to see repeal signs for the SAFE Act. Repeal the SAFE Act. That's why I think Fasso and Stefanik and others are saying, they're holding their fingers up in the air and they're saying, hey, I think I'll have some of this. I'm sorry, JP, you're up.
No worries. And with a Republican president and a Republican Congress, we will not be seeing, at least for a couple of years, any meaningful gun control legislation. And I would say that even with a Democrat president and Democrat Congress, I think that they would have a very tough time passing any meaningful gun control legislation. And it is because of money of the gun manufacturers funding the NRA. You see Mike Bloomberg spending billions of dollars on the gun control issue, and you see where he's spending it is at the state level where he thinks he can actually have an impact. It is going to be very hard for us to see anything meaningful at the federal level. And one other thing I wanted to mention was I watched on YouTube this morning Jimmy Kimmel's comments, yeah, which were really poignant and just a really nice commentary on what happened. And I encourage anybody that has YouTube, I guess everybody has YouTube, to watch Jimmy Kimmel's comments.
All right, let's go to some letters, and then we'll take a break and come back, and we'll move on to some other stuff. Christian says, I read a comment that said, in essence, if the Las Vegas gunman had been a bearded Muslim man, the NRA and gun advocates would be up in arms. But being it was a white American exercising a Second Amendment right, it's business as usual, and too soon to speak about it, which is so very sad. Mike says, in the aftermath of Las Vegas with 59 dead and more than 500 wounded, the House of Representatives is about to vote on a bill making it easier for gun owners to buy silencers. We're talking about that. I wonder if Congress has spoken to law enforcement about this. It also begs the question, if the Las Vegas shooter had silencers for his weapons, what would the body count be? Sounds like the legislation has absolutely no common sense. Do you think this will hurt or kill that legislation?
Can I, Joe, it occurs to me to say one thing. If you read this morning's New York Times, and I'm sure at some point we were going to get to it, but there is a hell of an article about the gerrymander and the fact that the court is now going to be considering the gerrymander. Now, you ask, what does this have to do with gun control? Everything. Because if you think about it for a minute, as long as, I think JP just said, the Republicans are in control of both houses of Congress and the presidency, there ain't going to be any gun control. And central to the idea that you would have that control is the idea that these guys would be able, because they've taken over state legislatures, who have changed the gerrymandering of each of the states and therefore gained control of the state legislatures, and therefore, and by the way, of many congressional districts, although not in New York State, where a federal judge ended up doing it. But you could see what I'm getting at, which is as long as the gerrymander continues, the Republicans continue. As long as the Republicans continue, gun control continues.
Well, I remember when Barack Obama had both houses of Congress for the Democrats, and not to cast blame, I agree that the Republicans share more blame on this issue than the Democrats, but they did have both houses of Congress and the presidency, and I don't remember them passing any meaningful gun control legislation, which is a shame. I agree, though, that the Republicans share more burden on this than the Democrats. The Democrats do have a significant amount of members in their caucus that would love to pass meaningful gun control legislation. And you do see the fact that that fully automatic weapons are outlawed in the country, and there are a lot less crimes committed because they're outlawed. And even though there are 500,000 of them, that they are used in a lot less crimes. So we could make an impact if our leaders would be willing to swallow a tough bill and vote for what's right.
I will take your admonition on the Democrats to heart here. I'll tell you the truth. In order for a so-called blue dog Democrat to win in an upstate region, for example, here in New York, and we've had them before, those guys are never going to be for sensible gun control. They won't, because they know that this is a third rail issue for so many of them.
I have two more letters that we're going to read those, and then we're going to go to a quick break. Kathy says, the answer regarding guns has to come down from the good guys with guns. At some point, the hunters and sports people and target shooters need to step up and make some recommendations. The NRA-owned politicians will not listen to the anti-gun lobby, so the Second Amendment folks need to tell the NRA and Congress what is reasonable. Christie says, Trump mentioned scriptures from the Bible to appease his base who think he is very religious, and another for the NRA because if it's pure evil, then you can't do anything about it. No need to mention gun control or mental health services. Not surprising. I guess Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about reaction to the president's remarks and what we expect from both today in Puerto Rico and tomorrow in Las Vegas from the president. We'll continue that conversation right after this short break. Is Dylan the only Wilbury left? Do we know that? It was the traveling Wilburys.
Harrison.
George said, No, George Harrison isn't alive. No, George Harrison isn't alive.
No.
Bob Dylan would be the only Wilbury left, right? Is that true?
I think of the primary Wilburys.
Of the primary Wilburys.
I think they had a backup band.
What about the ancillary Wilburys?
So the traveling Wilburys were Tom Petty, George Harrison, Roy Orbison, and Bob Dylan.
And Bob Dylan, right. So, all right. Tom Petty, we lost yesterday. We're going to talk about
the president.
The president and his comments and what we thought of those. I have to say that given what has been said in the past sometimes by our president in different situations, I thought the letter writer was making the case that taking the president to task for both some what are being referred to as dog whistles to both the NRA and to the religious right. But my question being, as you look at a statement, it seemed to be about what you would want from a president, right? I mean, it was measured. It was somber. It was reactionary.
A transcript that was very well crafted, and it was the appropriate thing, I think, for a president to say at an awful time like this. You know, I don't think there was anything wrong with it. It's that it looks so different than his tweets and his offhand remarks are, and when he acts presidential, it's jarring to people.
Yeah, I thought he did a really nice job, and I do agree with people when you think about how different these comments would have been if it was a Muslim that committed this act or if it was a Black American that committed this act. So, but I do think he did a nice job in restraining himself and being somewhat presidential.
Alan?
I think he's in real trouble, to tell you the truth. I do. I don't like the guy. I don't admire him. I think when he gives a statement like that, it is seen as false and insincere. I don't give him any credit whatsoever because he's the guy who's setting it up so that these kinds of things can happen. Sorry, that's just the way it is.
Two things. One, Jeff Lynne, also in the Traveling Wilburys of the ELO. There. He's alive, too. So we have two.
That's right.
We have two Wilburys left. All right. David Peterson writes to us and says, as a reluctant subscriber to Congressman Faso's self-congratulatory weekly newsletter, I was stunned by the lack of attention by any mention of the Puerto Rico disaster. Then today I learned of his sponsorship of legislation to weaken New York's concealed carry laws. This man does not represent us and must be removed from office. This is in regards to John Faso.
I want to react to that.
Yes.
Suppose the letter writer, who I admire, is wrong. What if he does represent his constituency? And he's reelected as a result of that. You see, I think we tend to let voters off the hook all too often. It's nice to say a president gave a nice speech. It's nice to say and that we agree with his tone. And it's nice to say that John Faso, who I've known for a long time, is not representing his district. But maybe he is.
We got
take Anybody take issue with that one?
No, although I'm reading on the next letter here, and I'm trying to make sense of it. But here we go. So we were talking about that idea of plane safety, and we talk about plane safety right after plane crashes, infrastructure right after a bridge collapses, and not gun safety after an event like this. And the letter writer, Peter, says, because making changes to plane safety and infrastructure safety do not infringe on anyone's constitutional rights. That's why discussing it right after only divides people rather than uniting them and recovery.
Oh, yeah. That's what we have to do now. Unite people after one of the worst tragedies in the history of America, which could have been stopped and could have been and the cause could have been stopped. So,
well, hopefully you can unite people, but you can unite people to realize that, we are in a very dangerous situation and that we have to worry about our loved ones and ourselves going to a music festival, which is supposed to be nothing but joyful and a delight.
Absolutely, but it's Donald Trump and his people who are following him, who are creating this terrible situation. And he is not fooling me. I don't know about anybody else.
No,
but when he says, Joe, let me just get this one out. When he says it's not the time, of course it's the time.
The thing, though, of course, is that this has been going along for a long time. Both during the Obama administration and during the Bush administration of these mass shootings, and a lack of will on the behalf of Congress and the Senate to do anything meaningful. I mean, certainly President Obama tried to even Biden, right? He put Biden in charge of the gun.
He did. Unfortunately, Obama talked a great game about gun control. He was a great messenger. Every time these mass shootings happened on Obama's watch, he was a great messenger. But he didn't get anything done. He didn't pass any meaningful gun control legislation when he and the Democrats came into power. And I understand that it's popular to blame President Trump on this, but both parties have blood on their hands in terms of this issue.
Wait a second. You get a guy like Obama, right, who is who at least says the right thing, and you get a guy like Trump who does the wrong thing, who perpetuates this terrible system. So I think it's a false equivalency, JP, between the two.
What's interesting to me is in one of the stories that Joe pointed out to us about the reaction, it said that back in 2012, Trump actually praised what Obama said after the massacre in Newtown, Connecticut. And he said, President Obama spoke for me and every American. I mean, you know, there was unity after that. It seems like even before there could be any unity. I mean, I was driving into work yesterday, flipping around the dial and one of the...
What?
Yes, and one of the AI, I need to do that to get the right perspective.
What?
So immediately someone says, oh, they're going to use this thing in Las Vegas to bring up gun control. As if, you know, it's exactly the time, as we already said.
Let's see. We have this letter from Anthony who says, how redundant this all is. Guns are seated in a fear-based industry which helps accumulate vast sums of money for many, especially some in power, capitalism and guns, a match made in so-called heaven. Lee says, to demonstrate that their decisions going forward are from their true beliefs, federal representatives should sign a pledge to return any financial re-election funding received from the arms manufacturers and the NRA, and that they will reject any future support offered by those entities.
Yeah, sure. They're not going to take them. Right. And I got a bridge for you. They're not going to take the money. Right.
And it may be collapsing.
They're not going to take the money. Yeah. Well,
Jason writes, it's always been difficult for me to listen to the NRA regarding the protection of gun rights. And now I hate to have to conjure a possible partial solution to gun violence at hotels, arenas and the like. The solution, use X-ray booths at hotel check-ins and scanners at all entrances and exits of arenas and trade shows, as well as stop and frisk policies for privately owned properties. Want to come to Mandalay Bay? Put your bags on the scanner. That's a good point. I mean, they were talking, as the solution seemed to be, about checking the bags at the hotel as opposed to meaningful gun legislation.
So we're going to have our bags checked before we go into a hotel, just in case we plan a mass murder. I mean, you
and just in case you got the weapons from the time that you got off the airplane after your bag was checked eight times and drove to the hotel.
No, no, I mean, you know, at one point they'll catch somebody maybe along the way, but it becomes impractical. Are there going to be no more outdoor concerts?
But they do it in the concerts, don't they, Mike?
Yeah. When you go into a concert, yeah. Certainly. I mean, yeah. That's one thing.
But that's the thing about the 32nd floor.
It's also very tough logistically in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is built so that massive crowds of people go in and out of different casinos on a day. Most people, if they go to Las Vegas, hit one or two or three different casinos in a day. It's a very walkable city. It just logistically would be, I think, impractical to check all these bags. And also, as Joe mentioned earlier, in Las Vegas, it is a quote-unquote freak show there. People are bringing in large structures and different, you know, flamethrowers for shows. There's just crazy stuff going on there all the time.
Shows, I bet you.
Yes.
So people will bring trunks of trunks.
Well, the other thing, too, and this is minor, but to your point of for anyone who hasn't been there, 22,000 people can be on a block and pretty much go unnoticed in Las Vegas, which is unbelievable when you think of that many people. The fishbowl analogy has been used many times in this case, unfortunately, but essentially that's what it was. I mean, it looked like a large ice skating rink that you put that many people in. There were exits on both sides, but because the entrances were off of the strip, most people went to those because that's where they came in. So intuitively, that's where you would leave. Unfortunately, they were going toward the gunfire and not away from it. A lot more to discuss. We have many other issues. Let's take a break. We'll come back. And we have Mike Spain, JP Miller, Alan Chartok. I'm Joe Donahue, and we'll be back right after this.
What lies ahead, I have no way to know. But under my feet, baby.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. 10 minutes past 7 o'clock. Jeff Lynn still alive. Let's go to some letters. Mark Lewis, who writes to us and says, gun control is one of the most divisive issues ever. It doesn't help solve the problem if the media, you for instance, and the left don't know the facts. Mail order guns from dealers have been outlawed since 1968 Gun Control Act. You have to pick up your gun at a licensed dealer and go through a background check. Private sales do vary by state. Read the Washington Post article titled, Just How Easy It Is to Buy a Gun Over the Internet. Both sides need to come to the table to solve the issue, and won't happen unless both sides stop using emotional appeals and politicized statements. Betsy says, Alan is right. The statements by Trump are insincere and said only to placate the base. He will do nothing about events like this. This is now part of his record and happened during his administration. By the way,
Joe, not only to placate the base, but to placate everyone because he's in a bad spot here. Everybody knows that he is a facilitator of looser gun control and of stopping sensible laws from going through. So, of course, he says it's not the right time to do it because there's never going to be a right time.
Meanwhile, Aaron writes, oh, my God, Alan, you just encapsulated the whole reason why the Democrats just lost the last election. The Democrats say the right things but don't follow through with legislation. Could you imagine where the Democrats would be today if in 2008 they bailed out homeowners instead of the banks? If they had put into place meaningful gun control and instead of giving us a right-wing health care plan made up by the Heritage Foundation, they'd given us Medicare for all, we would probably be without Trump at least.
Could be. We won't know.
We have this from Barbara who says, this is not the time. Block letters, bold, and a lot of question marks.
Just so you know.
I know. Wow. It's like a cue card, isn't it? When is the time? How many more lives have to be lost before it is the time? Please explain to me the reason for legalizing silencers. Please explain to me the reason for automatic weapons at all. Dan says, I'm sure Trump doesn't like you either, Alan, and thank you for letting your listeners know that you want to take the guns away. Brilliantly stupid. Okay, Alan, Trump is responsible for the deaths at the concert. Country music listeners happen to be a large part of the base. So is this some alt-left trying to pick off the base? Obama could talk a dog off a meat wagon, but not one banker in jail for the theft of trillions. Liberal garbage. We just wanted to give you an idea of some of the mail that we get.
Yeah. I love the fact that we read them. It's very important. It really is.
Janice says, and DT also subscribes to Donald Trump, that would be, subscribes to Alex Jones, who says Newtown was a hoax. That is true. Tom says, of course, Faso represents his district, as Alan suggests. Faso was elected by about a 15-point margin. That was no accident, no misrepresentation of the district.
Well, look, you know, as I said many times, I know John fairly well, and it is true what the letter writer writes, but he had a particularly inept opponent and who did not do well. And Faso presented himself as a moderate. Turns out he wasn't so moderate.
We got this from Daniel, who says, I would be one of the first to press the magic button that destroyed every gun, but with all the planning that went into this incident, he could have just as easily created a bomb or driven a tractor trailer into the crowd, which would have been more deadly. Please try and find more than one element to talk about in this case. Well, I think we're talking about this case. I don't know if we want to put out other scenarios.
But the point is well taken, I think. Look, these guys can do whatever they want. They can, in fact, drive cars into crowds. They can use AK-47s or whatever they are. They can do those things. And in each case, if they kill one person, it would be a big thing. So I don't think that the argument here is that this isn't such a bad thing because they could have, if I'm hearing it right, because they could have done worse.
And they did find there was some evidence that there were some materials that could have been used to making of a bomb that were found in his car and in the garage of the house, right? So we don't know what else could have come out of that, too.
It's true. If somebody wants to do an awful thing, there's a lot of different ways to do it. It's just that the easiest, most efficient way to do it is just purchase a lot of, guns legally. It's the best way to do it rather than go underground and find things to make bombs.
Susan asked the question, can we work on local gun laws? Local, then state, and then the feds will have to follow. Amy, a lot of nodding in the studio, just for those of you listening on the radio. Amy said, in the midst of this daily horrific chaos, the Children's Health Insurance Program expired in silence. Congress is despicable. Ryan and McConnell bear the most blame as they control legislation. We no longer protect our young. We devour them. Gun violence, student debt, health care, etc. Doug says, silencers are tools of snipers and assassins, not legitimate gun owners. The NRA leadership wants carnage and blood in the streets, even civil war, because it gives them a sick political thrill and causes people to buy and hoard guns and ammo out of fear. The NRA is pure evil. I don't know that if I believe in the motive. I think it's more cash-driven than that, but...
Yeah. I do think that this most recent incident will hopefully stop this new legislation that makes silencers easier to get and having the assault weapon licenses be applicable over state lines. Hopefully it will at least slow that legislation.
Chris says, given the statistics you gave on gun ownership in the U.S., please ask Alan how he thinks they can be taken from those that already have them.
I have no idea. I have no idea how you can do it. I do know that it's a huge constituency. Now, look, there have been buyback programs in the United States. We know that. And they've worked. You know, a lot of people say, okay, I've had this for too long and I got to get rid of it. And they'll give me a little bit of money for it. And I've never felt comfortable having it in my house. So you could do marginal stuff. But the question is an excellent one.
And final letter that we have right now from Raymond, who says to the panelists who mentioned that Obama did not accomplish gun reform, didn't Obama form a task force after Newtown? Wasn't there a Republican-controlled Congress that was responsible for the failure to enact legislation? We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. Let's move on to other topics. As we mentioned, the president will be going to Puerto Rico today. He'll be going to Vegas tomorrow, And as far as the Puerto Rico trip, Alan, given what we saw and heard over the weekend and his reaction to the mayor of San Juan, what do you think he can, should, and will say?
Well, first of all, we have to remember that there's a political dissonance between the governor and the mayor. The governor tends to, I believe, I've read and heard that he's a bit of a right winger. A states' rights guy, that doesn't necessarily mean anything because I don't know where I stand on that one. But the fact is that the president is going to go there. He's going to show the flag and he's going to say the kind of thing he said about Las Vegas. It will be crafted for him. It will be more than he wants to say, but there will be people with tears in their eyes saying, "Thank you, Mr. President, for coming here." There have been in each of the other cases also. So he goes, he gets back on the plane, and he gets the heck out of there.
I agree with Alan. I think it will hopefully be a quick trip so that the responders can focus on helping the people there. And it will be interesting to see whether the mayor, who has been outspoken in her criticism of President Trump, whether she makes a statement, whether she's nice with him, how that is kind of choreographed on any tarmac greeting or any kind of messaging thereafter.
And whether she'll be there and invited to be there in the first place.
Right.
And whether or not she's going to be, whether or not he'll be the aggressor in that relationship.
Well, he already was. I mean, this does when he shows up and reads a script and says the right thing and acts presidential, it draws this contrast between his alter ego of the tweeter, middle-of-the-night tweeter who can be vicious and can he really wants to have it both ways. He wants to look presidential and be praised and have people say, "Oh, no, that was the right word. Thank you, sir." And then get on his smartphone and start tweeting vicious things that attack people who are
like
in
the mayor.
Pain. Yeah, like the. I mean, you can go back and forth about her own politics, but I mean, she's a woman in pain, watching her city destroyed before her, and screams out, "It's not the time to attack her back. It's the time to be presidential."
Well, I also think that President Trump felt good about the government's response to the tragedy in Houston. And now that he's come under criticism for the response in Puerto Rico, he doesn't want to let this go and make it look like what President Bush experienced during Katrina. And so I think the mayor is trying to write some history, and the president is also trying to write some history in terms of what's actually happening, how good is the United States response. This is still an ongoing, huge, huge issue trying to fix this island out in the middle of the ocean in terms of getting power. I think only 5% of the electricity is back on the island. I think after 2 weeks,
they say in a month they'll have about a third of the electricity restored under the current estimates.
Well, I mean, it's really really bad news. The Puerto Rican situation is bad news. Can you imagine what the phone calls between the White House and the governor were when the governor said yesterday, we're getting a lot of aid here? I am sure that's the kind of thing gets worked out sub rosa, between the various political actors.
Yes, and the governor has said in a number of statements that there has been a lot of communication with the White House, and I'm sure that the White House is saying, okay, we're going to send, I think they said 12,000 workers from FEMA on the island, and if we're going to help, we need you on board in helping us as well.
We get this letter. I apologize. I thought that was a new letter. It's not. Okay.
I can tell you one thing. Murray doesn't like any of this.
No, Murray is not. Murray is not happy at the moment. Let's go on to. I find this. There's two Facebook stories that I want to get to, which I think are interesting. One has to do with the Russians and Facebook. Russians took a page from corporate America by using Facebook tool to ID and influence voters. That is one. Russian operatives set up an array of misleading websites and social media pages to identify American voters susceptible to propaganda, then used a powerful Facebook tool to repeatedly send them messages designed to influence their political behavior, say people familiar with the investigation into foreign meddling in the U.S. election. Meanwhile, Facebook has said that they're going to look into this issue and try to solve it if it has not already been solved. But meanwhile, we learned that yesterday that both Facebook and Google pledged to stop fake news, but they also ended up promoting Las Vegas shooting hoaxes yesterday. In the aftermath of the deadly mass shooting in Las Vegas, the world's two biggest gateways for information, Google and Facebook, did nothing to quell criticism that they amplify fake news when they steer readers toward hoaxes and misinformation gathering momentum on fringe sites. And a lot of these top stories that they had on both Facebook and Google, there were conspiracy-laden links from 4chan, home to some of the internet's most ardent trolls, and the post all had something in common. They identified the wrong assailant, and I have to say that as we were doing the show yesterday, in real time, Teresa was showing me the stuff that was coming out of Facebook,
right.
The points of that they had identified him as a Muslim man and so forth was, yeah.
Right, and even after that was disproven, even after authorities said who it was and gave the profile of a 64-year-old white man who lives about 60 miles north of Vegas, those continued to come. I mean, once they get out there, they have a life of their own. And if people, I mean, what it does, and it's the sad state that we're in right now. If you don't like what you're hearing, keep, you know, scrolling through the Google search and you'll find a story that says something that you like better, even if it's from a terrible source. It might be from the Russians. It might be just made up by some racist who wants to use this to, inflame people. And you can find something that you agree with. It won't be right. It won't be credible. But there's something there for everybody.
It's a huge challenge for both Facebook and Google, which neither of them produce their own original content. They are both news aggregators, and they have algorithms that are in charge of going and finding news stories, putting up the most popular news stories. And so are they going to be responsible for combing through these different news stories and figuring out which are credible, which are not credible? And this is a huge, I think, legal problem for Google and Facebook. Are they going to now take on this responsibility of censoring? Is that going to then spur another company to say, well, we are just going to have pure user-driven content to have this kind of stuff? The other thing on Russia advertising on Facebook, What struck me was there must have been an American advising the Russians on what messages to push, what issues are most important, and who is this American? There has to be, and we need to find out who was advising the Russians.
I think all they have to do is they have to regularly look at Breitbart, and they'll know what buttons to push. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, which they are, by the way, in Russia, to figure out what it makes, what divides American culture, and exploit that.
I agree with you, Mike. I think that's exactly right. Look, these guys have some very bright people. They always have. You know, that's what the KGB was all about. That's what it was. But you know what I'm thinking here is you got a special counsel, Mueller, who's looking at this whole thing. We now have pretty good evidence that the Russians were up to no good. The real question is, has Mueller found any connection between, you know, what the Trump people wanted them to do and what they did?
Yeah, you know, this is slightly off topic and yet on topic when we're talking about these stories coming in on Facebook and Google. But we were also talking the Tom Petty story yesterday. Tom Petty was reported by CBS to have been deceased, and he wasn't. He is now. He passed away last night. But the problem is that story went out, and then the various content collectors, Yahoo, Google, who have their news pages, kept on taking that story. And even though it had been pulled in the sense that it had been corrected, you would still see that story on the news feeds that he had passed away, even though there were stories right next to it saying that they pulled the story in and he was not.
Right.
He was not dead.
And what happens is as soon as CBS, a credible news source like CBS, says Tom Petty is dead, there are three dozen other sites that then cite that story. CBS News is reporting that Tom Petty is dead, and I was trying to update the Empire Report, which I work on, in terms of is Tom Petty dead or not, and there were stories, as Joe said, right next to each other. One, he's dead. One, there are false reports. He's been taken off life support, and then this morning you wake up, New York Times reports that he is deceased. But it is these algorithms and these computer aggregators that do it by computer. It's very tough to get the cat back in the box after it's out of the box.
Now, as the head of the Empire page, which is Empire Report, which is really excellent, do you ever have to bite your fingernails off worrying whether or not you're going to be held responsible for somebody else having a false story?
20 seconds.
Well, we always we just link to other stories, so we hope that look very carefully. We want to have excellent sources, and we go above and beyond to have quality news sources. But the Petty thing was weird. I agree, Joe. It was something where it was hard to figure out what exactly is going on.
Alan, JP, Mike, thank you for being with us. I appreciate it. We'll continue our conversation tomorrow. More panel. Right after this.